Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hey everybody, welcome back, and I am so excited about our guest today. She is a dear friend of mine, and she has a wealth of experience. But primarily, how we connected was actually through doing work in a nonprofit space and using our OSINT capabilities to find missing and exploited persons. That's just a small portion of her background. She has over 15 years of experience in IT and the cybersecurity space to include, it's a very diverse background. I'm excited to hear it from her mouth, but she does cyber threat intelligence to include working in cyber crime. She actually has done threat actor persona identification, and then again, working in the nonprofit space and so much more. JR, how are you? I'm so excited to have you on the show today. This is long overdue. We had to reschedule, but I'm so excited you're here today.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So I obviously told the listeners a little bit about you, but if you could tell them a little bit more about what you do and why was CTI your career field choice?
Sure. My name is JR. I'm a security threat researcher and an open source intelligence investigator. I come to the table after a long history of working in healthcare. I actually started working actually about 10 years in shadow IT, I'm the queen of awe, by the way. I've been told don't do that, but it happens. So apologies in advance. Essentially, I just, after graduating college, and I just answered an ad in a paper for a role. Essentially, it was no experience needed, we will train you. And I was just pretty good at the computer stuff. And it was a role that was created based on a study in a nurse's journal that found that when they had somebody that worked in operating rooms that just supported equipment, mm-hmm. it helped with the day. It helped with case efficiency and time. And they created this position. And what I did during the day was just help daily operations. And I was just hands-on troubleshooting equipment. I was the liaison for the staff between IT. And, you know, I just all day helped with everything from coming in the room when something wasn't working right, or swapping out computers, or, clicking a mouse to make sure that the monitors extended correctly, helping run a machine outside the surgical field, that sort of thing. After a while, that sort of lifestyle can get a little exhausting, and you can't really grow. And I went into corporate IT, and I took a role as an engineer. I managed the radiology systems. We call them PACS. And I managed the vendor neutral archive. So I worked with the cardiology and radiology systems. During that time, I was remediating an open shares issue with the security team. The senior security engineer, she learned about my background, and she's like, we can teach you the cyber stuff. Your background is pretty cool. And I applied for the analyst role, and I just got bit by the bug. After that, I was just doing the remediation of all the incidents, right? So looking at email headers that would come in and doing a lot of the incidents. And after that, it just kind of trajected from there. I went on to a senior position in another hospital that had a level one trauma center. From there, that's when the pandemic hit. So that moved into a full-time threat intelligence, where I was monitoring all the domains that were being spun up, right? What was all the, you know, COVID-specific domains, what they were resolving to, and working with our hospital incident command. There was a very pointed time where I was watching all the domains come in, watching our email monitoring, and watching the news of when the peak was hitting in the East Coast, and watching our tools, watching our SIM, watching Alien Vault. And I had to reach out to our incident command center and say, tell the supply chain not to panic. Stick with process. Don't Google. Sure enough, a week later, we started to see in our email protection, your N95 shipments got delayed. Click here. During that time, I joined a nonprofit called CTI League because I wanted access to more resources, more help. That's when I met additional individuals, other professionals, and they saw my background, saw my skill set, and they said, you can actually help us. And I joined the disinformation team, the darknet team, and it just trajected from there. I left the healthcare industry and joined a SaaS-based threat intelligence solution, which is they did data link analysis, where they used a lot of premium threat feeds, right, through API, and got to do a lot of really cool stuff. And unfortunately, with COVID, right, I think everybody has seen, you know, a different type of world when it comes to employment. So right now, I am working and focusing my time right now with the CTI League. So Jax, I think during that transition from healthcare into threat intelligence is where I met you, because you reached out to me. You and I ended up in a different community. And I think just out of the blue, I just got a message from you out of nowhere. And you were like, oh my God, another female in the space.
Yeah, it was kind of like that on Slack.
Yeah. And also, I believe very deeply in giving skills back and using it to the highest value that you can. And one of the things that I believe in is using it to for good. And I use it for purposes like disinformation and missing and exploited persons. And I think that's how you and I and DFI our Diva got involved with Trace Ops, right? So we can pivot from there. But anyway, too long didn't read. That's how I am where I am.
Wow. JR, that's like an amazing story. You know, your background is vast, and it's not only vast, it comes off as very impactful. It seems like everything that you've done, you've led, you know, a career path that's very full in the sense of you giving back or doing something that at the end of the day, when you hang up your hat for the end of the day, you can feel that you did something that was meaningful and provided a positive impact on someone or something. And something else that I love too that you mentioned is that you're really big on giving back, that you're an advocate for being able to not gatekeep the skill sets that you learn, that you want to give those back, because doing that's, you know, and I think, you know, in a consensus with all of us that giving back allows you to train individuals to eventually help fight the good fight that we're all doing. And you know, especially when you mentioned like finding exploited persons, like that's a big deal. That is a very, very big deal. So with that being said, you know, you do a lot of impactful work and a lot of it is behind the scenes, right? We don't go out there and talk about like what we're doing. We just go and do it and we do a good job and we make sure that it provides some kind of beneficial impact or positive impact on the, on whatever it is that we're doing. So with that being said, it's long days, long grinds. What keeps you going every day to do the work that you're doing, even though at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the project, you might not get a, you know, a pat on the back or a great job or a well done or anything after, you know, doing something like a long investigation?
That's hard, right? Mm-hmm. Because it feels like when you're saturated with the current platform of social media, and I can tell you that I fall victim to that. That unless you are being asked to give a talk, being asked to give a keynote, posting something and not getting a ton of likes, that somehow you're not valued. And that's tough because we are currently in this immediate gratification type of culture. That unless you get that, that somehow you're not valued. I can tell you that having spent those first 10 years of my life working arm in arm with doctors and nurses day to day, and it's different, right, from cyber. They don't get emojis. They don't get thumbs up. They don't get viral posts. But it matters to that person. It matters to their family. That matters. And I can tell you that I'm getting verklempt. But that's what matters. Right? Yeah. Sorry.
No, thank you.
You asked a question.
I love your passion. I love it. I love it.
Yes, we all love it. So, JR, I think this is a great kind of pivot point to just ask you about some of the challenges that you have faced, you know, not only being, you know, a minority in this field, but just how your career has transgressed. I mean, you've pivoted into this. You have a really diverse skill set. You know, what are those challenges that have really kind of helped shape you to where you are today? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. One of the big challenges I can say is I'm always going to have, you know, a place in my heart for the nonprofit. One is they don't have the money for cyber development. Like, the for-profits do, right? And the amount of creativity. I'm a certified ethical hacker. I worked really hard at that. And the only way I was able to get that was through a state grant. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to afford it, right? The other piece that was a skill set of mine was social engineering. And I can tell you that through the creativity, as an example, we would do, in one of my jobs, we would be able to do, we would do security awareness training. And as an example of training and having to be creative, because we didn't have access to, you know, a lot of tools, you know, to be able to do that, we would literally have maybe a free editing tool and PowerPoint. And we had to come up with a something to talk about for that month. I legit grabbed, it was around April, I think, I legit grabbed the intern because I just kind of had an aha moment, and I grabbed my phone because I had already gotten 3 scammer calls with those robo-dials, and I grabbed the intern. I said, grab your phone. We're going to go hide in a conference room. I'm going to call one of these dudes back. And I hid in a room, called him back, played the, oh gosh, I don't want to go to jail, and forced the scammer to go through his entire script all the way up until the end when he said, can you go to the Family Dollar and get a gift card? And at the end of the recording, I said, you know, dude, you're a fake. And we ended up getting this whole recording for me to walk through for a security awareness training, right? To say, this is the script. This is how they emotionally exploit you. This is what they say. This is how it moves, blah, 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 blah. And this is how nonprofits can get creative, right? Versus another company with, you know, a huge budget that can afford, you know, some big suite of tools that have these videos, that have these things, and you can click on the stuff. That's the challenge, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be a response.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there, but I mean, yeah, I that is something I think we all know far too well, especially the listeners out there, whether you're working for a startup or a large organization. This is a challenge that we all have to face, I think, as cyber professionals at one point or another is, you know, and I think there's a lot of different ways we can take this, right? Like lack of buy-in, lack of resources, you know, just the importance of what we're doing and having the appropriate backing in order to kind of get the momentum to get things done the way they need to get done, right? Mm-hmm. I think that luckily we're starting to get some traction with, you know, we're not there yet. But in the industry, we're starting to get a little bit more traction. And I think that, you know, what I see in my day-to-day interactions is that businesses are starting to get it. And by that, I mean that they're starting to realize how important it is to invest the appropriate resources in these areas. So with that being said, I am going to pivot to John because I know that he's been waiting to ask a question.
He's kind of fidgeting.
I know.
So antsy. I'm so excited. I mean, listening to your story is just so, is one, is very humbling. And then two, it's honestly inspiring and awe-spiring. Just like the things that, even in the, you know, time that we've been talking just now, it's amazing to see all the things that you've done and even just the experiences that you've shared, you know, in this episode. In the short amount of time, it's really created an amazing picture of, you know, your experiences and the things that you've been doing to make the world a better place. And like you said, like certified ethical hacker, you take that to heart and you that means something to you, right? And so with that being said, is one big thing that I wanted to ask is you're doing a lot of different things. You're pivoting from a different area to another area. Is do you have any like, I guess like life hacks or time management hacks that you use to make sure that you one, stay on course, and then two, don't get burnt out?
I don't. Do you? Well, so here's the piece, right? So I'm going to go back to what I think we were talking sort of pre-recording, right? I think there is this tendency to in the industry, and I'm going to be honest, I think we talk, and here's this other piece. I think what we talk about privately, we don't talk about in the open when it comes to this industry. And we need to. I'm gonna put light on this in the shadows. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves in this industry. And there's a big pressure to one, be right versus getting it right. There's a difference. So I'm going to take a step back. this is going to be a long-winded answer to your question, John.
Bring on the insight. Love
so, it. When we talk about threat intelligence, for me, that's taking a lot of raw data, right? And from different places and trying to filter it in a way that can be used to predict and I had it in my head. So taking raw data, right, in a timely manner and filtering in a way that can predict it and detect it and respond in a repeatable fashion, right? The landscape keeps changing. We are in this constant and what feels like a whack-a-mole. And then we are also in this landscape where a lot of people from the outside have an opinion. And that also feels very hard. And we also don't acknowledge enough the imposter syndrome that we put on ourselves. And when it comes to that, we need to start talking about that more, and we need to stop being hard on each other, because we all know that we're not. So because of the fast moving information and that the landscape changes constantly, it's not static, it's dynamic. So it's about getting it right and acknowledging that it's not going to be 100%. So it's about moving with the time, and we have to be kind. The burnout that happens is because we're so hard on ourselves. We're so hard on each other, and the outside has so much opinion, and we're not holding each other accountable for it. And we're not holding the outside accountable for it. And we're not shining a light on that. That has to stop. And so the industry keeps putting these weird standards on it. And I can tell you that there's been jobs I haven't been able to get because of some certification that is almost $10,000 that I can't afford. And they're requiring master's degrees and all these things. So we feel like we have to put in 18 hours, that's not healthy. But from the outside, it looks sexy, right? And a lot of folks look at that and they think, gosh, I want to be like that too. It's tough, right? And I want to be very clear that this is the most rewarding, the most amazing job that it can be. And it's also the toughest, the most sleepless nights you can have. But we don't talk about it. And so when we talk about life hacks, stop being the first one to jump on the news cycle and saying something that isn't right, because you're making my day suck. That's my, am I ruining the podcast?
Oh no.
This is insightful. And this is so real. Yeah. And I know that this is something we were for all you listeners, this is something we were talking about in detail before we even clicked record, and why we do this to ourselves. And I know JR, we did an episode, on imposter syndrome and how that, you know, can lead to burnout and things like that. And this is just so real. And you're so right that, you know, we're not giving ourselves enough grace. We're not giving other people enough grace. We glamorize something that is not sexy, first off. The only people that think it's sexy are us cyber professionals. The rest of the world is like, you know, what do y'all do? Yeah. What do you guys do? You guys are help desk. They don't really understand the reason that we put in the amount of hours. And it's, you know, we put this pressure on ourselves, not only because of the, because we know the risks that are actually happening. Like we know, and we know how much is on the line with our jobs. So that pressure is so self-inflicted. Sometimes it comes down for management. We see the gravity. If you're working with clients, you know what's at stake for them. If you're not doing your the right thing, like you mentioned, JR, the difference between doing the right thing or doing something really fast and getting the right answer, right? The difference between those two. So, I mean, I think that this is all just, this needs to be communicated, to your point, more. This is, these are conversations that people need to be having on a daily basis amongst their teams.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for all
that. I know me personally. I and we've talked about this, Erica. I overwork myself, and I've learned to have to say no, and I have to create boundaries, because we not only allow it to be seen as something glamorous if you're working 80 hours a week, but then we normalize it as well. So it's a compound issue. We're getting to the time where we need to do a wrap up of the show, but I wanted, before we closed out, I wanted to know, JR, if you, for any of the listeners that we've got in high school and college that could be seeking to get kind of into CTI specifically, are there any resources or maybe certifications that you could recommend to them that they should maybe focus on getting first out?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely start with the Security Plus, A Plus, everything with the fundamentals first. I would definitely recommend that. Once you understand the fundamentals, that works. You can always build from there. The other piece that's, for me, that's absolutely important is to keep on top of, the news with what's happening. So keep an eye on, you know, the industry specific information. The other piece is, beyond that, teach yourself. YouTube is amazing. Also, try HackMe. Those pieces are helpful. The other thing that I need to press is the ethics, right? Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get very excited about, oh, Shodan. Oh, I was able to get into something. What do these buttons do? No. So the other piece is law. I know, Erica, you said that you do a lot of work around risk. I did too, right? And so when we talk about risk and compliance, that is equally as important as trying to respond to the adversary.
Mm-hmm.
So being knowledgeable about frameworks is also important. So what does that look like? So, learning about OWASP, learning about NIST, and what is involved with the engineering side. How do you protect yourself? What is required? Learning about that too. The other piece, especially for, early day when you're coming into it, how do you protect yourself? So learning about two-factor authentication, learning about how exposed you are in the internet, and how do you not tell the world everything, and how do you protect yourself, and how can you protect yourself in the future state? That's, for me, things that you can do now that don't cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And there's a lot of free resources out there, so Google them. You can find them. JR, you have been amazing. This has been an extremely amazing discussion. I appreciate your authentic self, as always. You're the best. So excited to have you on the show.
Thanks you. Again. I appreciate what you do. This is important, particularly for giving back.
Yeah.
And coming from somebody who was only able to do what I can do because somebody else gave back to somebody like me. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's the industry.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and Hack Zen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.